the family was God's idea, and it was God's design. And God cares deeply about your family, whatever that looks like. He cares deeply about it. And so we're going to be, through this Advent series, this Christmas series, as we look forward to the coming of Christ as a church family, we're going to be talking about it in the context of family. And what does this look like for you? What does this look like for your family? And I'm just going to be straight up with you today. I'm going to be speaking unapologetically to the men in the crowd today, to the leaders of the family, because if you're a man, you are called to be the leader of your family. Now, if you're not married, if you're single, or if even if you know you're married but you don't have kids, this applies to you. If you're a man, you're a leader. Ladies, if you're not married, a lot of this will apply to you because you're called to lead yourself if you're out of your parents' household. For some of you older folks, maybe the grandparents who came to watch a baby dedication today, a lot of this will apply to you, and we'll get to that later on. But I'm going to be speaking to the men, and this is something that I felt God called me to do this week as I was preparing for this series, because the men are the leaders. And guys, I want you to know, if you do your job, your family will flourish. But if you fail to do your job, your whole family will suffer. And so that's how important what I have to say today is. And I think as fathers, and a lot of you parents, grandparents can relate, especially at Christmas time, what we want more than anything for our families is we want to bless them. Amen? Like, especially at Christmas, like we're like, we got a budget. Like my wife and I were talking about the budget. How much do we spend on each kid? And she threw a number out and I was like, well, I'm comfortable with that. And then she's looking online for gifts and she picks one gift for one of our daughters and it's like over the budget. And I'm like, hun, we just set a budget and the one gift is like way over that budget. Like what's going on here, you know? But we just want to bless them. We want to see their eyes dance. We want to make them happy. We want to give them joy. And what I want to talk to you about today is the greatest blessing you could give your kids is to prepare the way for them to know Jesus and to receive the greatest gift God's ever given us, Jesus Christ. And that's what this season is about. More than trees and lights and even presents, it's about Jesus. And it's about focusing our families on who Jesus is, how he came, why he came, and what our response should be. And that is the greatest blessing we can give our families. And so I want to talk about how we can do this. And I want to do it through a family in the Christmas story. God chose a family to prepare the way for Jesus to come. It was actually, it would be Jesus's cousins, a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, and that's where we'll be today, verses 5 through 17, if you want to follow along, if you have a Bible. Luke 1, 5 through 17. Starting in verse 5. So this is preparing for the Christmas story, okay? And this is what happens. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was Elizabeth. She was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, okay? But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, before I jump in and start addressing the men in here and the fathers and the leaders, I just want to point out a couple of things about what we just read, and that is this. To have a family is a great desire for most people. To be married is a great desire for most people. To have kids is a great desire for most people, but I think especially for ladies. And I just want to point out something before we move on. This is especially for some of you ladies who maybe struggle with, maybe you're single and you just haven't found that guy yet, or maybe you're married and you haven't been able to conceive. I just want to encourage you, and I want to point out something that we can think, and you may be tempted to think in those situations, that God is punishing you, that maybe you haven't been good enough, and that's why you couldn't find a mate, or maybe that's why you can't conceive. But here in this story, we learn that you can be righteous and devout, blameless. You can please God and still struggle with not finding someone, with being able to have children. And the only reason I want to point that out is just to encourage you and say God's not punishing you, okay? And I would just encourage you to do this if you're wrestling with that today, one of those things, wanting to be married or wanting to have children. Those are good desires. God created those things. And I would just say to you, seek him, seek the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think that means a couple things in that context, and that is if you seek God and you make him your joy and your delight and what you want most in life, he will either grant you those things as you seek him, or he will heal the wound and the hurt you feel over those things, because he's a good and a loving father. And if you're struggling with that, I know that's a deep struggle for some of you, and just seek the Lord on that. Make him your delight. Make him your joy. And he will grant you those desires, or he will heal the hurt and the wound that's associated with those things. So they're a godly couple. They're old. And when the Bible says someone's old, it means they're pretty old, all right? We can safely assume they're at least in their 60s, all right? They're past children-bearing age, all right? We'll say it that way. And so they're older couple, and this is what happens. Now, keep in mind, they've been unable to conceive. It says, verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And the Bible is just describing this is what's supposed to happen. This was the common practice for the people who served at the temple. Zechariah was a priest. His lot came up. Oh, your turn to go serve at the temple. And so he went. People are outside praying. And he goes in to administer the incense, burn incense to God, which is something he had told them to do. And this is what happens while he's in there. Now, he's in there by himself. There are people outside praying, but he's in there by himself. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. All right? Just imagine this. He's in a very quiet, darker place. He's probably got his eyes closed praying. And when he opens his eyes, there's a massive, awesome-looking dude, and he's gripped with fear. He's startled. It's an angel. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Now listen to this. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. What he's saying is God's about to bless you for what you've been asking for. And then he says, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. You see, they had been barren for a long time, unable to conceive, past childbearing years. But at some point, they had prayed. Most scholars believe it was probably when they were young, right? When they were as young as 30, right? They were praying for kids. And most scholars believe they're well past that age, and they had given up on that prayer. But you know something about our prayers? You know what's interesting? They don't have an expiration date. And just because you gave up praying for something a long time ago, God still heard those prayers. And so he says, oh, your prayer was heard. He's just waiting on the right time, the right circumstances to bring about that good and noble desire that you were praying for. And he says this, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. So God answers their prayers, and he's like, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to bless you. You guys, you men in here, you men, I'm speaking to you, because the moms and the grandmoms, they know that the children are the greatest blessing in their lives. But I'm telling you men in here, your family, your wife, your children, they're the greatest blessing God has given you. Whether you realize it or not, they're a great blessing from God. Psalm 127 that I read earlier. Children are a heritage, a special gift from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. They are God's greatest blessing to your life. And if you're single, if you're not married, if you don't have kids, your family is God's greatest blessing to your life. Or at least it's meant to be. Maybe your dad or your family didn't do what they were supposed to do. They weren't the people they were supposed to be. And so that wasn't a blessing for you. But our families are meant to be God's greatest blessings in our life. And here's kind of the crux of what I want to talk about today. That with every blessing, especially every major blessing in your life, comes a burden. All right? Every blessing from God comes with a burden. And you know what that burden is called? Responsibility. And the more God blesses you, in fact, the greater the blessing, the greater the burden of responsibility. See, God says, Zechariah, I'm going to bless you with a child. And this, he ain't going to be no ordinary child. He's going to be special. He's going to be a joy and a delight to you. Maybe we've got four kids. Maybe some of you can attest. Some of them, you know, they're not so much a joy and a delight. They cry all the time. They're those hard kids, right? We thought we were the best parents ever after we had our first. We're like, what do people complain about? This kid sleeps 12 hours a night. I mean, she's amazingly obedient. Like, people need to wake up. We're like the best parents ever. And then we had our second child, a boy named Judah. And we were like, oh, this is why parenting is hard. Like, each one's different. And God's like, oh, no. This one's going to be a special one. He's going to be blessed. From the time he's born, the Holy Spirit's going to be on him. A joy and a delight. Special blessing. God's like, from the day he's born, he's going to love me, and he's always going to do what's right. Those rule follower kids that you just praise the Lord for, the easy ones. He's going to be like that. But you know, with the greater the blessing, the greater the burden of responsibility. And so God gives him specific instructions. He says he is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. What God's referring to is what's called the Nazarite vow. See, God had given them instructions on how to raise their families, and all of the Israelites had to do those instructions. I read Deuteronomy 6 earlier about raising your children, talking about the scriptures, teaching them, training them in the ways and the word of the Lord. But a Nazarite is found in number 6, and that's someone who's specially dedicated. There's a lot more that has to go with it. You're not allowed to cut their hair, okay? God made this up. I don't know why, okay? But you don't cut their hair, all right? They're not allowed to drink alcohol ever, okay? And there's some other things, like they're not allowed to be in the presence of a dead body and whatnot. And most Nazarites, you could pick a set amount of time. Like, I'm going to dedicate myself to God for a couple months, a year, or whatever. But there are a few people in Scripture whom God said, I want them to be a Nazarite from birth for the rest of their lives. One was named Samson, who did not live up to it. And the other is this guy, John the Baptist, Zechariah's son. He's going to be special, but because he's a greater blessing, Zechariah, you have a greater responsibility. And so he's going to be a Nazarite, and you got to train him this way from the time he's born. The greater the blessing in your life, the greater the burden of responsibility. And this applies for your family, but this applies to any blessing God has given you. God has been teaching me this over the past year, because in the past year, God has blessed my life with some greater blessings than I had before. We had been renting a condo when we lived in Michigan. When we moved down here, we became homeowners for the first time. Now, God blessed us with a great house. It's a greater blessing to own a house, But what comes with that greater blessing? A greater responsibility. Now, someone else doesn't cut the grass for me. Now, when something breaks, I don't call somebody and say, hey, this is broken, come fix it for me. And they're like, okay. Now it's me. I've got to do it. Some of you have experienced that greater responsibility. When we decided to become church planters and start a church, I went from being an associate pastor to being the lead pastor, the leader. The thing about being a leader is you're responsible for everything. I almost fell off the stage. You're responsible for everything. And so in Michigan, in my church up there, there were, you know, somebody died, somebody wants to get married. They didn't even talk to me about it. It was like, okay, talk to him. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff I just passed on. Guess what I get to deal with? Everything now, right? And it's my joy, right? But it's a greater burden of responsibility because the blessing is greater. Some of you have experienced that in your job. You get a promotion. You're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're going to give you a raise. Cool. Yeah, you're going to take on this whole other department too. Oh, wah, wah, wah. You know, with the greater blessing of pay comes a greater responsibility. And especially with your family. And I want to speak this to some of you. With each kid you have a greater responsibility. With each kid you add, life becomes less and less about you. You have less and less time for you stuff. And you have a greater responsibility to be with your family and to provide for them and to instruct and train them in the ways and the word of God. If you don't understand this, some people get into jobs, get into families, and they don't understand that with every blessing comes a burden called responsibility. And if you don't understand this, what can happen is you can start to mistake the blessing for a burden. Like all you start to feel is the weight of it. I know when we first bought our house that I mentioned, there was some remodeling that had to be done. It was a house built in 1850. So, you know, there's a little remodeling, all right? Now, it had been updated a little bit since then, but I got in there and I realized it was quite a lot. It was a little more than I thought there was. And as I'm working on that house, you know, you're tempted to go, oh, so much work. Oh, we should have just bought a new house. Oh, we should have built one. Oh, you know, and you start to grumble and complain because you're feeling the weight of the burden of responsibility. You know, I've heard some ladies longing for that first child, just fantasizing since the time you're 4 years old about that first child. And that's all you've ever wanted your whole life. Right? And then they get married. And I've heard some women explicitly say that they have that first child and the labor was awful. Takes them months to recover. They get home. The baby won't shut up. It just keeps crying. It's got colic. You know, it had these weird, it had ear infections. Oh, every story's different, right? But it was a burden. And they have hormones going on, the postpartum thing. And it's like, when did I ever want a child? And what was that like? Like, really? I wanted one of those? Like, and if you're not aware, and if you're not expecting the burden of responsibility, you can get into the blessing and mistake it for just a burden. But especially when it comes to your families, men, we feel this. And I want to tell you the truth. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. I know you feel the weight of it. I know you feel the weight of it more than any other member in your family, and you should, because you're the leader. The responsibility, the buck stops with you. You should feel the weight of that. But don't try to handle that weight on your own. Don't mistake the greatest blessings God's given you for burdens. And here's the thing. You can start to feel like the blessing is a burden. And what ends up happening is we start to abdicate the responsibility because it just feels like a burden. So we're like, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to push it away. And here's what happens. If you fail to bear the burden of your blessing, the burden gets multiplied. Okay? So if God blesses you with something and you're like, whoa, this is not what I thought, and you fail to rise to the responsibility and bear the burden of that responsibility, the burden will get multiplied. This is why it's a saying in our culture, mo money, mo problems, right? Why do people say that? Because if somehow you're blessed with a lot of money, that's a lot of responsibility. And a lot of people, especially young athletes, will be easy to pick on in this category. They're blessed with a lot of stuff, and they have no idea how to be responsible with that blessing. And so what ends up happening is it ends up causing mo problems, all right? But then you see people who know how to rise to that responsibility. And if you know how to bear the burden of that responsibility, mo money becomes mo money. You know how to invest it. It becomes a greater blessing. You see, if we rise to the responsibility of the blessing gets multiplied. And that's the reason God blesses you in the first place, men. He and all of you. God wants to bless you so that the blessing gets multiplied through your life to your families. But you've got to rise to the responsibility. And if you abdicate the responsibility, the burden will be multiplied. This is why you can ask any statistician or anybody who works with inmates. The most people who are in prison, who are a burden to our society, guess where they come from? Homes where fathers did not rise to their responsibility. And so the burden was multiplied. And so men, we play a critical role. The stats are overwhelming. It's not just broken homes or divorce homes. It's homes where the man, the dad, is not being dad. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not rising to the responsibility. And God shows us in this story, he tells Zechariah that if he rises to the responsibility, the blessing will be multiplied. Listen, Luke 1:16, he says, I'm going to bless you with the child. Here's your responsibility. Nazarite, it's extra. It's more than what other people have to do, but this is a special kid. Greater the blessing, greater the responsibility, Zechariah. And here's what will happen. Luke 1:16, he, John, will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. The blessing is going to get multiplied because Zechariah is going to rise to the responsibility. And this is exactly, it's been this way since the beginning, since the original family that God chose through which he wanted to bring about Jesus Christ through a guy named Abraham. All the way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 12, verse 2, God says this to Abraham. Listen to this. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God blesses us so that the blessing gets multiplied through us. He blesses you to be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. Paul says in Galatians 3 that particular verse, all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham, is referencing that Jesus would come about through Abraham's family line, grow up, be the Savior of the world. And so literally all who would believe on him from all nations, the whole world would be blessed through Abraham's family. If you're familiar with church, if you're familiar with the Bible, if you're familiar with the story of God, you probably know that. But listen to me. Why did God choose Abraham? You ever thought about that? Have you ever wondered what was so special about Abraham? In Genesis 18, God tells us, listen, he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. And here's why. For I have chosen him, God says, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. God's like, you know why I chose Abraham? Because I knew that he would rise to the responsibility and he would teach his children after him to keep the ways and the word of the Lord, and the blessing would be multiplied to a nation, and that blessing would be multiplied to the entire earth. It's the reason we're sitting here today. It's the reason we have Christmas, and God did it all through a family, and he did it all through a man, a father, who would rise to the responsibility. And I believe God wants to do the same in your family and in my family. But men, we've got to rise to the responsibility. And if you're a single mom, maybe dad's out of the picture and there's nothing you can do about it, then it's on you. Rise to that responsibility. Do what God's calling you to do. And here's what happens. Check this out. When we rise to that responsibility, the blessing is multiplied, and the most important thing happens in our households and our families. We prepare the way for Jesus to come. And that's how God ends telling Zechariah what's going to happen with his family. He says, you see, I'm going to give you the special kid. He's going to be a blessing, but there's a burden with that blessing. It's a greater responsibility. The blessing's going to get multiplied. He's going to bring many people back to the Lord. And listen, this is how it ends. Listen to this. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Listen, you know how John's going to prepare the way for Jesus? You know how he's going to prepare people to receive Christ? Listen, he will go on in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. The original translation literally says turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. When you rise to the responsibility God's given you, you prepare the way for your family, for your children to receive the greatest gift they've ever known in their lives or could ever be blessed with, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. And so I want to give you three really quick, really practical things you can do to rise to the responsibility. Men, this is going to be directed at men. If you're a single mom, apply it to yourself. If you're single, you need to lead yourself in these things, okay? But I'm going to be speaking directly to the fathers. Three things, and I'm going to try to go really quick, that practical things that you need to do to rise to the responsibility, prepare the way for Christ to enter your home. Number one, you need to follow Jesus yourself. You cannot lead your family or your kids anywhere that you have not been yourself. You need to follow Jesus. So if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've taken that step of faith and received Christ, you need to make sure that you're maintaining your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A couple practical ways: prayer and Bible study every day. Go after God. For some of you men in here, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the first practical thing you need to do. And you need to do it. Some of you might say, well, you know, I know kind of how to love people, and I can kind of raise my kids. And, you know, I grew up going to church and then got away from it, but my dad did the same thing. And, you know, I don't really need to make that decision and make that public step. And you may be right. You might be able to raise responsible citizens that way. And if you choose to do that, you're loving them with your love. And your love will end when you die. And your kids will be distraught and hopeless. And they will have no hope after this life is over. And we're all heading that way. The best gift you can give your families is accept Christ yourself and lead them in that. And when you do that, you love them with God's love. And that love is never ending. And you give them so many blessings when you do that. You need to accept Christ yourself. I want to mention four names for those of you who you're sitting there and you need to make that decision. Four names. You ready? Ron Wilson, Eric Riley, Brian Ernst, and Victor Olivieri. Now, a lot of you guys probably recognize those names, okay? They're part of our church. I want to mention two things that those guys have in common. First of all, they're the first four people in general that we baptized as part of Resonance Church. Like in the last 12 months, those guys have gotten baptized. It's awesome. You know what else they have in common? They were fully grown men. Real men love Jesus. Real men do what Jesus tells them to do. And they care more about that than what their buddies at work think or what anybody else thinks. Because so many men fail to follow Jesus because what do the guys at work think? They're going to make fun of me. You know what that is when you give in to that and you don't do what God tells you to do? It's called being a coward. And so I'm calling you out. If that's you in here today, you need to make that decision. It's called courage. Real men follow Jesus. And here's the thing. If you need to make that decision, you come forward at the end of the service today. We can pray together. You can receive Christ today. And here's what we'll do. In 2 weeks from today, December 21st, the Sunday before Christmas, Christmas Sunday, we will set up our baptistry again and we'll do baptisms and you can get baptized on Christmas Sunday. You want to lead your family? Say, hey, come to church with me on Christmas Sunday and I'm going to show you what Christmas is all about. Daddy's going to show you. Baptism is symbolic of Jesus dying on the cross and raising again to life. And what better picture than on Christmas Sunday to say, hey, kids, this is what Christmas is all about. If you've not made that decision, you need to do it. And hey, talk to me afterwards. Use the connection card. Check, I want to be baptized. We'll have a conversation. We'll set that up and we'll do it. Be the best Christmas ever. And here's what else I know about men. We're terrible about dates. And so the rest of your life, you're like, when did I get baptized? It was Christmas, but it wasn't on Christmas. December 21st, right? It'll be awesome. I'm telling you. You need to make that decision. Second thing you need to do, really practical, maintain your marriage. Maintain your marriage. I've heard it said that the best gift you can give your kids, and I'll qualify this, other than Jesus, okay? The best gift you can give your kids is loving your spouse well. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Because when they see that, they feel safe and secure and they have identity and they say, I know where I come from. And that's why divorce and broken families are so tragic. They grieve the heart of God. And I don't want you to mishear me. I'm not judging you if that's happened to you. Sometimes that's not your fault, right? Terrible things happen. But listen, when that happens, I mean, it's natural to understand that a kid's identity is literally before their eyes being split, where they come from, their genetics. My mommy and my daddy, they're gone. Now they're doing other things separately. Who am I? Where do I come from? My identity has just dissipated before me. It's tragic. And so you need to maintain your marriage. Love your spouse well. And guys, you're the leader, but we assume that because you're the leader, you've got it all figured out. And we assume leaders have to have all the answers. No, leaders know how to ask the right questions. And here's what I know. Your spouse, if you're a guy, you're married, your wife knows way more about you do than about how well your marriage is doing and how well the kids are doing. Because women are just wired by God to know more intuitively about relationships, all right? And so your wife is like the gauges. I'm going to do a, this is for the guys, this illustration. It's like the gauges on your dashboard. That's your wife, all right? We don't know what's going on under the hood. We have no clue. The dashboard tells us. The gauges tell us. We check our oil. Your wife is those gauges. You need to maintain her. You need to, like, once a week, you need to check the gauges. All right? And here's how you do that. Once a week, you sit down with your wife and you have a conversation other than your schedule, other than the business of being married. And you sit down and you go, hey, check this out. This is revolutionary, all right? You sit down and you go, how are you? Really, how are you? She'll tell you. 3 hours later, you'll know how she's doing. You'll know everything you've been doing wrong. All right? But seriously, how are you? Hey, you want to blow her mind, all right? Hey, how can I be praying for you this week? Whoa. You want to see her mind explode. Hey, check this out. This week, how can I make you feel loved and pursued by me this week? What are some practical ways I can do? Guys, you don't have to know how to pursue her heart. You just ask her. She'll tell you. But you need to do that. You need to maintain it. All right? Maintain your marriage. The third thing, and of course, this is a lot of what we've been talking about. Train your kids in the ways and the word of the Lord. Train your kids. Deuteronomy 6, I read it earlier. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Church is not just for Sunday. Christmas is not just for once a year. Literally do those things. I'm so blessed when I walk into people's houses and I see scripture painted on the wall. They are literally doing something God asks us to do. And it not only looks cool on Pinterest. You'll probably screw it up when you try to do it, but it looks cool on Pinterest. But it not only looks cool, but guess what that does? That initiates conversations. Hey, kids, what's that say? Hey, kids. Something we do with our family is we have a bedtime routine, and we try to pray every night together as a family. Sometimes we read a Bible story, or sometimes we just have one Bible verse. We read it. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What do you think that means? You just ask a couple questions. That's it. That's it. I was so blessed. One of the families that got dedicated their kids, the Montgomerys, we ate lunch with them one week, and they have like a little whiteboard next to their kitchen table, and they had a verse of the day written on there, something about being the light of the world and stuff. And they said, okay, we're getting ready to eat. And you know, you get ready to pray for dinner, right? And let's read the verse. We read the verse. Okay, kids, let's pray. Something that simple. And then guess what? While you're eating dinner, hey, so what do you think that means? What's that mean to be the light of the world? What does that mean? Your kids will surprise you. Your kids will surprise you. Super simple. We're not talking anything difficult. Train your kids in the ways and the words of the Lord. And here's the thing. Make this a priority. Christmas, Advent, one of the best times of the year to do this. All right? And so I knew what God was stirring in me as I was coming into this message series. And so December 1st, this past week, I'm like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do Advent devotions as a family. Okay? We sit down. I had the little book we gave you. I'm like, we're going to do the first reading. And I'm like, okay, kids. I've got four kids. All right? Try this with little kids. It'll be a nightmare. But hey, it'll get better as you go, all right? They're going to be running around. You'll get a taste of what's going on in children's ministry right now, okay? ADD, squirrel, no, focus, all right? Jesus, all right? And sat down with our family, like, oh, kids, we're going to do Advent. And you know what Advent is? It means coming and this and that. And that day, we had decorated our tree. We'd hung some lights. And all day, we've been talking about, this is what we do at Christmas. This is what we do, right? These are traditions. And my 8-year-old and my 5-year-old, they've already gotten their minds. We do this every year. And we sit down, and we're doing Advent. We're like, hey, I'm explaining it. And my daughter, 8 years old, looks at me and goes, we don't do this. We don't do this. And I just looked around and go, well, we're gonna start. And we're gonna do it every year. She goes, oh. That convicted me, and that told me two things. You've got to start when they're so young. If you've got kids 2 years old or older, you need to start doing stuff like that. They will soak it up like a sponge. And it convicted me for this reason. We're really, really intentional about, let's go get the tree. Let's put up the lights. These have nothing to do with the most important gift that God has ever given us, Jesus Christ. That's what my kids know. And we get gifts on Christmas morning. And our tradition has been, well, we got to read Luke 2, the Christmas story, before we open the gifts. So that, you know, the reason we get gifts is because God gave us his gift of his son. Right, kids? And my kids can tell you that if you ask them, what's Christmas all about? Oh, God gave us Jesus. That's right. I'm just telling you, listen, those other things, they're not bad. They're not evil. You don't need to boycott, all right? But listen, if your kids know that, more than Bible Word of God, that this holiday is not rooted in some American president saying, let's set aside a day. It's rooted in ancient story, text, history. This is real stuff. There's really a guy named Abraham. He lived thousands of years ago. And God, throughout history, has been painting this beautiful story. And kids, we're here today, and it's all about Jesus. You got to start when they're so young. And this is assumed when you're training your kids in the instruction, the ways of the Lord. But I don't want to assume it today, because I'm speaking to you dads, and we assume this. We shouldn't assume it. And that is, to do that, you have to be there. To train your kids and for you to take leadership in that, you have to be present. And I realize there's work situations that may prevent that at times. And if that's the case, you need to talk to mom and make sure she's doing that when you can't be there. But listen, they require your presence. Because here's what us guys do. I know, because I do this all the time, and I see so many dads doing this, all right? Our responsibility is provision. We know that. We go out. I work hard for the money. I make the money. I bought the house. I fixed the house. Here it is. It's for you. I buy the meals. It's for you. I buy your little soccer dance outfit. There you go. I bought the van. You can ride to those things in. All right? I provided all that through my job. I'm the provider. It's what I do. But when I get off work, that's me time. Y'all go do your little things. I'm going to do my thing. I may not even come home first. I may go do my thing. I did my part. I provided. You did half your part. Half your part is provision. The other half is presence. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? God, the provider, provided all things, but he wasn't content with that, and he said, I want to be there. And so the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I want to be with my kids. I want to be with my people. I want to walk through them through with everything in this life. Presence. Presence. Make it a priority. Rise to the responsibility. Follow Jesus yourself. Maintain your marriage. Check the gauges. Ask her how it's going. Be present for your kids. Train and instruct them in the ways of God. And if we take this seriously today, men, literally, when you go home, if you start putting this into practice, maybe you've not been doing it, you can start today. I wonder what could happen. I wonder what could happen. I wonder what your marriage, your family would look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I know what that's like. I know what that's like. Because I have a legacy of faith in my family. My grandparents, all four, were Christian people. I had 5 aunts and uncles on one side, 8 on the other, and they're all Christians. They all believe in God. They all love Jesus. I do not remember in my life what it was like to not know about God, to not believe in God. My earliest memories, God's real. He's there, and he's Jesus, and he's, you know. I've always known it. I haven't always been obedient, but I've always known it. And that's the greatest gift I've ever been given, was a legacy of faith. And it's beautiful when you have that in generations in a family. Some of you grandparents who are here, you've given that gift to your family. And whether they realize it or not, it's the greatest gift you could have ever given them. And I learned something as I grew up. It wasn't always that way. And I want those of you who didn't grow up in that and you didn't understand this, I want you to hear this. All four of my grandparents, who laid such an amazing foundation, did not grow up in Christian homes. 3 of them grew up in very broken homes, so broken that their own parents were not the ones who raised them. They all four came to faith as adults, grown people, whose families didn't know Jesus. And they came to faith, and they started going to church, and they said, we're in, we're going to do this. And it's created this legacy of faith in our family. And some of you who didn't grow up in that, you can start the legacy today. Today, you can go home and you can start rising to the responsibility that God has given you. Men, you can start today rising to the responsibility. I've been talking to families, but don't think that if you don't have kids, this doesn't apply to you. Start being responsible for your own life. God's blessed you with this life. God's blessed you with a family. God's blessed you with children. Start rising to that responsibility, because the greater the blessing, the greater the responsibility. And if you abdicate it, you will multiply the burden. But if you bear the burden of the responsibility, the blessing God's given you, the blessing will be multiplied, and you will prepare the way for Christ to come into your family. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, I pray that we could take this message to heart. We could start living it out. We could start rising to the responsibility that you've called us to. I pray for the men in this room that feel the weight of the burden. God, I pray that they would call on you and have you help them carry that load, Jesus. Help us lead our families. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And you will teach us and you will lead us ways that we can do this in such a way that it doesn't drain us, but in fact it energizes us. God, do that in the name of Jesus today. God, let this be the most special Christmas ever for the families who put this into practice and really focus in on what Christmas is all about. That you gave us the greatest blessing we've ever known, your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for that. And it's in his great and mighty and holy name we pray. Amen.